How you doing? This is Joseph Loudon.
I'm Jeremy Anderson.
And this is the Veterans Roundtable. Today we are with Jeremiah Hill. He's a fellow veteran. And Jeremiah, if you want, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career in the military.
Awesome. How you guys doing? I'm Jeremiah Hill, and I'm out here in lovely Oahu, enjoying the end of my hardship tour. I've been in the military for 9 years, where my primary job is a 35 Sierra signal analyst. Along with that, I've held multiple hats, most of them around training and instructional titles and roles. So everything from, you know, taking, building curriculum, building classroom materials, to teaching classes, to designing a whole new class and creating it from scratch, writing the policies established with it, going through meetings, going through multiple courses of action to achieve an end state. And with that said, you know, that's me in a nutshell, really narrowed down. So
training development is a big thing for you. That's kind of what you're interested in outside of the uniform, now that you've, we saw yesterday that, you know, you got your DD-214 and you're finally on the other side of the uniform. So if you want to talk about just kind of a little bit about what you're trying to do after the transition, kind of help everybody, including me and Jeremy, really, you know, find those, you know, your next step, help you with that, anything else, and everybody watching.
Awesome. So for me, it doesn't seem like I've done my research and doesn't seem like I narrowed it down, but I have. I'm looking to do training development or / analytics. And with those, you know, those are two really broad generic categories, industries. Within those industries, I'm willing to do, you know, like HR, communications, develop training from scratch, instruct even. And I think that goes right along with my skill set. For instance, I'll talk about one thing I've done in the military to just shed some light on why I feel like talent development or training development is right in my wheelhouse. So throughout my career, multiple times I've been asked to start something from scratch. For instance, there was no training program in one of the organizations I work with. And I created the pipeline from nothing, which meant first researching it, taking the research portion as far as I possibly can. And that goes with not only my own research, but also talking to other organizations, other people doing similar roles, other organizations that have that training in place, and see how they went about developing it and how their training platform works. Taking that research, building it down to, let's say, three courses of action, really deep diving in each course of action and, you know, talking about the pros and the cons and the output if we were to travel down one of these courses of action. Gotcha. Sitting down with management and developing strategies to implement each course of action and deciding on a course of action to follow, going down the path and constantly asking for feedback and further developing and analyzing the course of action we're on, which involves, you know, quarterly meetings and say, this is where we're at. Where did we think we would be? And, you know, that was what I've done throughout my career. I mean, I've done that with the section in training. I did that in my first duty station. I created a course from scratch by, you know, what we call in the military, letting a good idea fairy hit, asking the right person the right question at the right time, and they go, that's a good question. Why don't you try to answer it? So,
so if I could jump in for a second here, just to make sure I'm understanding everything right, you've got a lot of experience researching things, providing options to decision makers, that way they can make informed decisions, correct? Like, that's a lot of what you're talking about with these courses of action. Like, you do the legwork, you present with options, and then that way decision makers can make informed decisions?
Yes.
Okay.
And so providing the feedback from the from the options as well. So.
Okay. So one of the big things that I see, you know, and possibilities, and I know we've all kind of spoke about this, is a lot of companies, every company faces issues, right? You know, kind of the reason the Veterans Roundtable started and why we're wanting to do this is because me and Jeremy ourselves, you know, we had trouble with transition.
A lot of trouble.
Seems like with you, Jeremiah, after we've, you know, we spoke over the phone and things like that, the big thing that you're about is, I think what a lot of us have and we've learned in the military is you adapt and overcome, and then you find a problem and you map out a way to fix it. And it's not just complaining about a problem. A lot of businesses, they have issues. They have things that, you know, it can be, you know, trying to negotiate salaries, trying to, you know, contracts, things like that. You seem like the kind of person that says, okay, I got your problem. And I can find the data, I can do the analyst part of it, but I can also come up with a solution for you and map it, right? That if I heard right.
Yes, it's a blessing and a curse. I've always been able to identify gaps. And with that being said, it usually leads to me being the person, throughout my career, leading to the person to fix said gaps.
Yeah.
It's not like I go into an organization and I immediately go, you know, let me fix this. It's broken. You know, it comes from actually, you know, doing the job for a while and actually taking those internal notes and those external notes while from beginning to end. Let's say I get into a job and I go through the training pipeline. I'm taking notes. And then I get started the job. I'm taking notes. And it's not like I'm taking notes till, you know, badmouth the organization or anything like that. It's to better it. It's all about every process being better and fixing it for the person coming next, right?
Yeah.
So if you are constantly looking at where you are and what you're doing and how to develop it better, you can always turn around when you get to the right place and turn around and go, so we're here now. This is what happened to me. This is how it went. I think it can be better.
Mm.
Here are some suggestions. Here are the gaps. And it's all about, you know, progressing organization, progressing it forward, progressing progresses or processes.
Still there?
Hello?
Yep.
Sorry, my audio went out for a second.
No, you're
all right. All right. Sorry about that. That was an interesting problem.
Jeremiah.
Froze. I'm in
If you don't mind, I think that really ties in what you just talked about with the transition support group you kind of started there. I think it was in Hawaii, correct?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
So it's right now. Oh, for sure. My situation is very interesting. So I started this transition. I do have a plan. I still have a plan. I'm still driving with that plan and looking to slowly possibly implement my backup plan if the first plan falls through. But with that, I've taken notes throughout this transition as well, and I see the gaps within this transition.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike when working in an organization, identifying the gaps, during transition, you have to identify those gaps and try to fix them as you go through it. Because I notice nothing is as fresh as the feelings and the nuanced emotions of transition. We all experience them. It's like a roller coaster ride, right? And with that roller coaster ride, I could be wrong, but I feel like some of that could be forgotten. So I like to capture it and try to fix literally the person next to me or the person coming, you know, step behind, because I know what it feels like to be in the limbo phase of uncertainty. I understand how people can feel anguished or angry or upset or nervous or anxiety. I mean, it's just so many feelings. And I want them to know that, you know, it's okay to feel those feelings, but it's not okay to sit in the negativity. Like, you have to drive forward. And whatever your foundation is, you have to go back to your foundation and let that be your strong point and your pillar and go, you know, no matter what circumstance I'm in, I won't be shaken. And put your positivity first. Put your state of mind first. And if we can establish that for people first going into transition, not already into it, I feel like that will make transition 10 times easier.
Yeah, I love that.
I hope to answer your question.
I think it's funny that you say that. And I think when Jeremy first reached out to me about you, and he said, man, this guy is literally, you know, weeks away from transition, but he's doing everything he can to help the guys that are coming after him. And the thing that, I mean, that was the first time I knew about Jeremiah Hill. And I was like, all right, we're running with it. You know, I want to help the guy, because that's literally what the Veterans Roundtable, that's what we're trying to do.
I want to chime in on that one, because you remember when we first got on the phone, man, you called me, and it blew my mind, because I thought I had your story wrong. I'm like, I thought this guy was about to get out, and here you are talking about going around to TAPS classes and giving presentations. I'm like, he must have been out for a couple of years. He's like, oh, no, I'm about to get out, and I don't have a job yet. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, I was honestly on the phone with you, like, nah, I must have been mistaken for somebody else. Like, it sounded like you were a veteran that had been out for a couple of years running around helping people with your story. And, like, no, you're right in the middle of it. Like, so that was really cool, man. That was a first impression.
Yeah. And the perspective the perspective that provides, like you said, you know, you talked about, is – you can't really talk about transition unless you've gone through it and felt it, because then it's real and it connects with people. And when me and Jeremy first started talking about this idea of the Veterans Roundtable, I was like, listen, man, my transition wasn't good. And he was like, mine wasn't either. He was like, let's do something about it. You know what I mean? And the biggest thing is, we are so big on is we just want to be the connectors.
Yeah.
You know, and reach back to the guys and, you know, the women, brothers and sisters that are service members, and fill in what we felt. And I was like, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. Like, I don't have any connections on the outside world. And if we can get a hold of those people and, you know, those brothers and sisters, and let them know, hey, the veteran community is here. That's what, you know, this whole thing is about. So I think it's really awesome that you're already doing that aspect of it.
My transition looked good on paper, but it was the most stressful thing I've ever been through. I mean, I landed a good job and all that, but my life was so up and down. And, like, you talked about stress, anxiety, and uncertainty. And, like, man, it was just probably the biggest roller coaster and the most stressful thing I've ever been through. So
Jeremiah, and that's understandable, you know. Like,
what is the one thing, if you could narrow it down, what would you say is the one thing that you have struggled with with the transition process?
That's a very, very good question. And to narrow it down to one thing would be, that would be not only difficult,
hard,
but I think
hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, that would be, whoa, my goodness. So I think the one thing, I'll start with one thing, and I'm sorry if it branches off to others. The part that's interesting about transition is, like, even if you go in with the right mindset and the right plan, I think we all don't expect to hit the road bumps that we do. Like, yeah, majority. Of course, you have, you know, minority. And when I speak, I mean, I'm speaking on the majority. Hopefully it's not minority. If it's the minority, I apologize. But, you know, you don't expect to hit the road bumps that you do, right? So mm-hmm. I thought I had a very good plan. Thought I was prepared. I was prepared mentally, but I thought I was prepared on the job front. You know, I took transition very, very serious. Excuse me. There are those people who in Hawaii right now that will vouch for that. Yeah. I've heard many a times that, you know, I've taken it more serious than most people they realize. I mean, I took notes. I took every TAP class several times. I practiced interviewing. I practiced facial expressions in interviews. I looked in a mirror. I practiced the 60-second elevator pitch. I mean, I'm all hands in, right? And even I have experienced hiccups. And that's why I talk about the mindset, right? You have
to
understand going in, no matter what, no matter how much plan you are, no matter how good of a person you are, no matter your foundation, no matter your plan, no matter your intent, you might hit hiccups. And those hiccups could come in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. You name it, during this process, I've gone through it. So I can relate. I understand every feeling anybody can have. You know, I've done interviews with robots where it's, you call in and it goes, hello, the interview will start in 5 seconds. And you're like, whoa, what happened? And it goes, beep. And then it's just you and, you know, your sound, right? I've been ghosted. And we won't even go down that. That's a trigger worthy, conversation for another day. Right. But I've been ghosted. I've had my resume go to the black hole. You know, I've had lots of interviews. I've been in several different pipelines. I don't know why I don't have a job. I mean, sometimes I hear feedback, sometimes I don't. And it's not for lack of support, and it's not for lack of people also having my back and having my best interest in mind and the interest of my family. It's really kind of unexplainable in some aspects. And I know I don't, my resume might not be perfect. You know, my LinkedIn profile might not be perfect. They're all work in progress, but
yeah. And it's you know, part of you learning. I mean, the thing that I say a lot, and I've said it to Jeremy, and I think Jeremy said it to me, you know, everybody talks about a plan, having a plan, a transition plan. But anybody that has been in the military or been around the military, or they know that your game plan never survives first contact with the enemy. I'm not saying the civilian world is the enemy, but
for sure.
You've got to be willing to do that. You know what I mean? And another thing, and I it really helped me with my transition. And I wish I remembered who said it. But they said, in life, you're going to catch an L. Everybody says that nowadays, right? You're going to catch an L. But you know, the great thing about that, about L, is learning starts with an L too. So every time you catch an L, your loss, if you learn from it, it's not really a loss, you know? And
yeah.
I don't think anybody, and this is my opinion, can map out their transition and it go exactly the way the plan is. That's just not how life works. So the fact that, you know, that's why to me networking and LinkedIn is so important, because it's what helped me. And when you by yourself, and we learned this in the military, you know, you're not that strong by yourself. And in the military, we learn, you know, your brothers and your sisters, the people right across from you, you know, they got your back and you have their back. And I'm the biggest thing that I try to key in on, and when I'm talking to service members, is your network is probably the most powerful thing at your disposal. And it's something that you should value more than anything in the world. Because my transition, the fact that I'm employed, and is because of my network of people that I've never even met before, but have reached out their hand to me and say, you know, I understand, I've been there. And that's one thing I think is awesome about you, Jeremiah, is you're doing, you know, your work on your end and you're networking, but you're also reaching back to the guys behind you.
Yeah.
And that is huge in my opinion. And that's what this is all about. And I think you're going to do great. Do you have any advice for, I'm sure you have a lot, because you've worked with a lot of service members. Do you have any advice that you would give service members that are transitioning, even if they, you know, they've got a year out or they've got 3 months out? Is there a piece of advice that you can give that kind of covers that whole, you know, that whole grouping of, oh man, I just found out and I'm getting out in 3 months, or I plan to get out in 2 years, for like people that are retiring?
Yeah, I've got some advice. I don't feel like at times I don't feel like I'm, you know, qualified to give advice, but yeah. Then being in a situation, you know, I can only speak from my point of view, and hopefully, you know, it hits others where it counts. Mm-hmm. Right. So for me, step one is eliminate negativity.
Yep.
And by that mean, I don't mean fight it head on, right? If I'm just going to throw out arbitrary name, right? If I have this friend named Edward, and Edward is in my circle, and Edward finds out I'm transitioning, and Edward's constantly going, man, you're not going to get a job. This is going to be the most difficult thing. By eliminate, I don't mean eliminate Edward. I don't mean try to fight him and go, dude, no, I'm going to get a job. It's going to be positive. You know, that is wasted energy, right? I mean, now it's probably not the time to hang around Edward so much, right? Now's the time to kind of distance yourself from him. Not to say stop being his friend, not to say stop being loyal or whatever the case may be. It's just the time to distance him because you're preparing to go through something that only someone who's going through can tell you what it feels like. Yeah. And to have that negativity already weighted on you going in, I mean, man, you're already 12 steps behind because you're going to face obstacles. You're going to hit roadblocks. So if you already go on with the anchor or on your leg, you know, you're not going to start the race, you know, as best as you can, right? So front one would be try to eliminate the negativity. It could be a unit. It could be a friend. It could be family. Because negativity can come from anywhere, right? They hear you're transitioning. You know, an aunt can call you and go, what? You're getting out of service? Oh, man, what are you doing? You should stay in. You know, it can go left to right, right? So one step is to eliminate that because that's going to already – help you in this race be one step ahead. Step two would, you know, like I said, identify your transitional or your foundation. I'm sorry. Like me, I'm a devout Christian. So my foundation is in God, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that no matter what happens, it's going to work out for the better of me, right? I don't know if that better is the better I had in mind, but I know at the in the end, it will be better. Yeah. And not better doesn't always mean what I want, right? Yeah. It's going to end up better. So whatever your foundation is, you know, find your foundation of positivity and lock in on that and key in on that from before you start. Or if you're unlucky enough to know transition is coming, as soon as it starts, lock in on it. I will not be moved because of this, because I believe this.
Yeah.
Then from there, I would say start really reflecting on yourself and reflecting on your career and reflecting on how you feel about self now. So identify where you are now and then identify the truths in what you see, right? Mm-hmm. So you could say, let's say you're getting medically chaptered. Now, you know, I can't speak on medical chapters, so I apologize if I say anything to offend anybody or anything, right? But let's say, you know, you got injured. So it's sprung up on you. You're getting chaptered medically. You know, some things that might run through your mind, you might say, oh, man, you know, I wasn't good enough to cut it, right?
Yeah.
You got to identify that and say, where do I see myself? I see myself as being unworthy, and I need to not see myself that way. Why? Mm-hmm. How are all the things point against that, that negativity bias, mm-hmm. right? And then once you know yourself, it adds to your foundation, and you can't be shook.
Yeah.
These three things set up, how I attacked all my obstacles I face and I face today, and I still keep my head up and I'm still just as positive as I went in because those were my three keys. It was like, I'm going to be positive no matter what. Here's my foundation, and I got rid of all the negativity fat. Mm-hmm. And I ran in and go,
that's huge.
Come on, let's go, right? I still face negativity now. I got three no's last week. You wouldn't know it.
And I think the big thing that ties into the three things you talked about, and they're all three things I dealt with. I truly believe, and I've heard a lot of big names and successful people say this, people that I admire, whether they're successful in business or successful in life, they say you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So if those five people are negative, you're going to have some negative tendencies.
If
those five people are positive, you're likely going to be somewhat positive. You still have choice. And I think in transition, it's the same thing. You know, once you have the first thought of, oh, I might transition, I think it's about time to get four veterans that have done what you want to do and connect with them.
Absolutely.
And network and network and network. And the thing about it is you learn so much more that way because you learn from their stories, their mistakes. That's what this whole Veterans Roundtable is about. You know, learn from my mess ups and from Jeremy mess ups and our ignorance that we didn't know so that doesn't happen to you. You know what I mean? But I think the mindset,
sure.
Me and Jeremy talked a lot about mindset. I battled depression for 13 years. My transition, it was a lot mental, a mental game. And when you talked about, you know, look at your foundation, look at yourself, and listen to what you're telling yourself in your transition. If it's negative talk, if it's negative self-talk, that is going to set you back more than anything in the world. Because every time you go in for an interview, you go in to connect with somebody, you're automatically going to think, I'm not good enough. Or why would they even talk to me? If once you switch that mindset into a mindset of, in my opinion, gratitude and self-acceptance of, okay, listen, I might not have everything together. I know I don't. I still don't. I don't. Nobody's perfect. That's what I believe in. And once you accept that and realize your strengths and your weaknesses, like my big thing with me and Jeremy, for example, is he's really good at some things that I'm not good at. So we play off of each other. Yeah. And my network and his network, that's how we do things. Like, I'm not a resume expert. Jeremy's not a resume expert. We know people that are really good with resumes.
Neither am I.
Yeah. So it's about that's the whole thing. And I'm really glad you touched on that, because that's one thing that I'm super passionate about. Like, eliminate as much as possible the negativity in your life, and it will pay back in tenfold. Because I believe, you know, when you have a negative mindset about things and about a transition, it's already hard enough. Why make it harder on yourself? And then you start attracting negative things. My mindset is if you think that every day is, you know, is a gift and an opportunity, then those opportunities are going to come to you, you know, in some shape or form, because other people see it in you. You know, they see that this person's trying, you know, and they're doing the work on their end, and they're networking, all these things. And we just, you know, we need to pick me up. And, you know, sometimes you just need somebody that's been through it too and says, listen, man, I understand. I've been there. And not saying that my advice is going to, you know, be perfect for your situation, because we're different. But having somebody that understands how it feels and is supportive in your transition is, to me, is hands down the greatest thing you can do. So, Jeremy, what's your viewpoint on all that, man?
No, I mean, I think we've covered mindset. One thing that jumped out to me as we were going through some things, like you talked about surrounding yourself with veterans that with a positive attitude and all that. I want to get more specific, and maybe you've already done this. If not, then it's kind of a homework assignment from here. What if, you know, we talked about training and development or analytics. Well, what veterans do you have, or civilians is fine too, but you know, who's that positive influence right now in training and development that's sitting there? Are you leaning on someone right now? If not, we need to find that person.
So.
I'm leaning on so many different individuals for so many different things. Like I talked about, like I said, the positive mindset, and I know how it might look to some people, like, man, he's getting out, he should be worried and all this stuff. Like I said, that foundation just solids you, right? And yeah. I've surrounded myself with so many people. For instance, is Miss Wendy. You can look her up on my LinkedIn. She's awesome. You know, one of my mentors, Christopher Henderson, he was sergeant first class. I met this guy in England, you know, 7 years ago. And we re-linked up, you know, he's on Hawaii. We re-linked up, you know, that's just to name a few. I apologize if I didn't shout you out there. just, you know who you are, right? You know who I'm leaning on. I lean on so many people for so many different things, and they mentor me in so many different avenues. But far as like jobs, it's not really, we're not really talking about jobs, because I just feel like that it will come. It's more about life and understanding, like I said, mindset and your faith and your steps forward. And sometimes it's just a, you know, everything's going to be okay. Even though I know that somebody saying that to you just adds to it. Like I said, it's all about what you have yourself around. I had a question last week, and somebody asked me, you know, how do you stay positive? I said, it's easy. I said, I don't have any negativity. Well, what happens when you hear a no from a job? I'm like, what happens when I hear a no from a job is it stings. It's like a bee sting, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's not like a scorpion sting. I don't need hospital time. I'm not laid up in a bed. I don't need this recovery, you know, time. It's like a bee sting. Ow. Yeah. And I pull the stinger out. I rub some ointment on it, slap a Band-Aid, and it doesn't affect my day. It doesn't bedridden me. Yeah. Some people take these nose and these things that come with transition like a snake bite. You know, yeah. They got to get the venom out. They got to sit yeah. down. They're going to be hospitalized, you know, quote unquote, yeah. not really hospitalized, but, you know, laid up in the bed and yeah. it's weighing on their mind and it takes some time off and then they slowly trickle back in. But you got to look at these things, these roadblocks, like bee stings and people.
Yeah, like challenges. Out there. That's the outlook at them. Right challenge.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. That's what it is. And you just, ow, put a Band-Aid on it and keep moving. Yeah. And like I said, there's so many people. You know, my wife also, my wife is a rock. She's amazing. Yeah. You know, to stand by this crazy guy who constantly is like, oh, everything's going to be okay. I know yeah. how it probably looks to her. Like, why is he yeah. not worried? This guy should be worried. But, you know, she never points it out. She has faith mm-hmm. in me. And yeah. she gets my way of thinking already. So she's yeah. just amazing, right?
I want to give a shout out to, because we talked about mentorship, right? And I think for all three of us, mentorship has been a big thing, or just having a support group. So I want to give a shout out to a big thing that, you know, helped me was American Corporate Partners, ACP, and Veterati. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Jeremy, but
Veterati, I believe.
Veterati, yeah, awesome. Veterati. I don't know. So I can read it, but. They
let's go at Veterati.
yeah, they will sit down. They will take the time to really look at, you know, your service, the things that you want to do, and the kind of work you want to do when you come out. And they try to help you match with somebody that has gone through what you went through. And I think that is so key. And I wanted to give the shout out to that just in case, you know, a service member or a vet out there hasn't heard of them. They're amazing.
Yeah,
I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah. My ACP mentor was, he worked for Harvard University. You know, I was interested in Six Sigma and that kind of thing. So they matched me up with him and he was amazing. Like I said, I don't know resumes or we talked about that and he yeah. touched on my resume, gave me guidance there. So yeah, you gotta lean on people like that.
So, Jeremy, one thing that I mean, we all met each other on is LinkedIn. Jeremiah, what is your, you know, your viewpoint on LinkedIn and kind of the benefits for, you know, everybody, service members, veterans, you know, civilians? What do you think, what's your viewpoint on LinkedIn?
I strongly believe LinkedIn is, now, I'm, first, let me spot my biases and let me identify them. I don't have any other social media. I don't have yeah. Facebook. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I don't have Instaham. I don't have any of that stuff, right? So all I have is LinkedIn. So that's my bias. I'll put that out the way just in case somebody is like, well, he doesn't because he only has LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
But I believe it is such a strong platform. I mean, from LinkedIn, I've met amazing people, like all over the world, people I probably would have never ran into. The support is amazing. There's always inspirational stories and inspirational posts and motivation, and I just learned so much. There's people who post things. I mean, some of these people can get paid top dollar for some of their advice and their videos they post out there. Like, it's for free. It's right there. You can learn management and learn this and then this other perspective. You can reach out to CEOs and, you know, to these people who, you know, it's an amazing platform. Mm-hmm. Now for me, you know, I don't, as far as my posts go and what I talk about, I only write when I feel inspired or motivated. And, you know, I don't write with intent. I just feel motivated and inspired and I just write. And then I post and then I normally sit back and go, oh, I should have rethought that. Right. Yeah. But it's out there and I just leave it out there.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, so many – it's just such a powerful tool. If you're not on LinkedIn, you should get on LinkedIn, and you should just, you know, feel your way around, right? Like I said, my profile is not perfect in any aspect. We all know that at this point. I do have some limitations on what I, you know, on my profile that I'm working on in due time. You know, in due time, I'll work on those. But with time being limited, my focus is on other things right now, as far as that goes. But like I said, LinkedIn is just, it's just amazing. The things I've learned, the people I've talked to, the lessons I've learned, the videos I've watched, the people I talk to every day, the comments, the posts. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. It, to me, it's, I do have all the other social medias other than Twitter. I just, I can't keep up with everything and Twitter. But to me, I think it's the most powerful social media there is. And I think LinkedIn is still kind of coming out, you know, really stepping out on its own. And when I got a hold of LinkedIn and, you know, started to learn the power of it, I was like, wow, this is crazy. And for example, like I got accepted into a software development program that I'll start next week. And the power of LinkedIn is
congratulations.
I comment, thank you so much. I commented on a post about this training program, and the guy who built it reached out to me on LinkedIn and gave me advice on it. And I was like, what, are you serious? But that's just the, my biggest thing is for your service member, your veteran, and you don't have LinkedIn and you're nervous about it and you want, listen, none of us three here are experts, but I will do everything I can. And I think Jeremy feels the same way.
By no means.
To help you with it, because I think it is so powerful. Yeah, and once you get out, once you get in it, you're like, oh, my God, this is an amazing place.
Yeah, well, I want to jump in here. First of all, to emphasize what you guys are saying, when I transitioned, I spent months, and I started LinkedIn but didn't take it too seriously. I spent months, like, job searching, postings, resumes, all that, targeted resumes, all that stuff, and nothing. And then for me, it took off in the Veteran Mentor Network on LinkedIn. And I think this part is very important to understand, because LinkedIn is not like Facebook. You have to have a reason to connect with someone, from what I understand. I think that's still the case. By joining the Veteran Mentor Network, you're now connected to 130,000 veterans that you can send connection requests to. So it's very important when you get on there, get in the Veteran Mentor Network. And for example, someone couldn't search for the three of us if they don't have a reason to be, I don't believe. And then, but by joining the VMN, now they have access to all three of us. So I think for people that may be new to it, very important first step, get in there, and then you start engaging the veteran community.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. That play, the Veterans Mentor Network, I mean, is helped me so many times. And I've the very beginning, I got on there and was asking questions on like, hey guys, how do I do a headline on my LinkedIn profile? And they would walk me through step by step how to do it. So, like you know, Jeremy said, if you are kind of hesitant about LinkedIn, I mean, do your own research, things like that. But if you decide to take the leap, you know, connect with us, and we'll try to do everything we can to help out. And that means, you know, anytime I see somebody looking for a job, that can be a civilian or a veteran, I try to go out of my way. It's not really out of my way because I'm there, but to engage with that person. And that's what's so huge on LinkedIn is on Facebook, you'll see, you know, posts about everything all over the sun. And LinkedIn, everybody that posts pretty much has got a purpose. Some people are trying to sell you something, but some people are honestly looking for feedback. And it's one of those places where you can kind of put yourself out there, and I mean, you're going to get the people that naysayers, but a lot of people provide encouragement and support and literally will do a lot of things that to you, you're like, why did they even do that? So that's huge.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Jeremiah, one thing, I think the, you know, kind of a wrap up question, and would be, What do you provide, you know, a company or organization that might be interested in you?
That's a very good question. I provide, you know, positive attitude, fresh set of eyes. I provide, and I know this might sound cliche or whatever, but I'm intrinsically initiative-based, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a lot for me to want to do more and want to do better, and I want to grow in every aspect, and I want to innovate. I want to not necessarily shake things up a bit, but, you know, progress with the company and a company. And like I said, a fresh pair of eyes. I'm a hard worker. I don't want to go down that, you know, down that path. And, you know, I like long walks on the beach or anything like that. But, you know, I feel like I provide a lot, you know, and I'm going to throw this out there too. I think I was talking to Jeremy the other day, and we were talking about, I told him how I feel. I feel like, to all the NFL fans out there, or the fans of any sport, and they have a draft, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched a draft and they have that first round pick on the board?
Yeah.
And the insiders and the announcers are going, man, this guy's first round pick. And this, that, the other. And then you got the other announcers that are kind of naysayers, but, you know, this guy hasn't proven himself. He got injured in college and yada, yada, yada. And then the rounds go by and that first round pick, you know, is still on the board. And yeah. People are going, man, what team is he going to fall to, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that first round pick. And that's not me trying to toot my own horn. That's just me, yet again, knowing what I'm capable of. I feel like a first round pick still on the board in the 12th round. And wherever I fall, not only will they get a first round pick, they will get somebody who wants to prove himself, right?
Yeah.
Because I've been passed up on so many jobs and went through so many interviews and so many phone screenings, and I still don't have employment. When I find employment, I feel like I have so much to prove.
Yeah.
Not only myself, not only the company that hired me, but to prove those other companies that passed me by, like to show them you could have had this, right? Yeah. That I'm not just going to fall into the cracks and just be a number.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be somebody that eventually comes back around and you'll hear from and you'll go, oh man, remember that guy we passed on?
Yeah.
Wow. He's, you know, skyrocketed to this level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I feel like. Yeah. I feel like first round pick still on the board. It's the 12th round. Who am I going to fall to? You know?
Yeah. And I know we talked about earlier, you do have a clearance, and I think that's to a lot of companies, and that's a huge deal. You said you had top secret, which in a lot of industries, a lot of industries, that's, you got to have a clearance, and having a top secret is a big thing. So just wanted to make sure that was correct with.
Yes, I have a top secret clearance.
Okay,
yes.
You have a
top secret. It's active as well.
Okay. That's because I just want to, you know, give you the opportunity to talk, you know, to bring that aspect up, because, you know, I have a clearance. I needed it to get the job that I did in aviation. And literally they will not even look at you unless you have a clearance. So that's huge.
I still want you to share your perspective on location and clarify some things there. So talk about kind of why you started migrating to Wisconsin, which I thought your family was there, misunderstood that piece, but can you just talk about your perspective on location as a whole? And
yes, I can. I'm in such a unique circumstance, right? So when I first started to search, I'm from New Jersey originally, and I have family in New Jersey, Delaware, PA. So most people, when they start transition, where's the first place they look? Where they're from, right? They go, I'm going to go back to family or near family. Let me look to see what's there. So I was focused in and honed in on that. And date-wise, October 16th, there was a transition summit here in Hawaii. The Wisconsin team came out. My buddy Steve, shout out to Steve, gave a speech about Wisconsin. I was sitting right there and next to a buddy of mine, and we looked at each other and we said, who's going to go to Wisconsin? We laughed about it, right? They're bringing up all these good facts, and it sounded almost too real to be true, right? So I went home, and I'm natural research, right? So yet again, it doesn't take much. So even when I like shrug something off, if it stays with me, then I'm forced to like deal with, you know, my intrinsic curiosity. I sit home and I was like, man, I need to look this up. So I started looking it up, and then it started checking all the blocks and things that I'm looking for where to go. And then it started adding blocks that I didn't know I was looking for and checking those. Bam, bam, bam. And I said, man, this is better than he initially put out. October 17th, they were here for the second day. I walked right up to him. I said, I'm all hands on. Let's go. We're ready to go to Wisconsin, yeah. Right? Now, with that being said, you know, I switched my focus purely and solely in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that's where my focus currently still is, right?
Yeah.
I don't have employment there in Wisconsin. People like Steve and Jessica, you know, they have worked tirelessly. They have given, you know, dedicated hours. They invested in me, and I still don't have a, you know, it's not their fault that, yeah, I don't have employment. That's not them. Yeah. They are awesome people, and they have given me, you know, we are actually friends from this whole process. So it's not like just, you know, basically like recruiter and recruitee conversations. We're friends now from this whole, yeah, sequence of events. And I haven't fallen into employment there yet. So with that being said, and my timeline is tragically diminished, I pushed it as far right as possible. So within the next 2 weeks, I'll have to make a really, really big decision on, you know, if I don't have employment there. So the employment is what will get me to Wisconsin. If I don't have employment, I can't go because I won't have their support in the back end of my family.
Yeah,
if that falls through, then my focus will shift to New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, because I will be moving back with family and have to hit the reset button big time because I focused so much of my energy in Wisconsin that I didn't focus it over in that area. So I would be going back there to reset. So the reason why I laughed when you first brought up the location is because whenever I have this conversation, well, 9 times I have this conversation, I always get like, you're not focused. You need to refocus. You know, you're focused on too much. And it's like, my story is unique. Like, I have a huge decision to make within, yeah, the next couple weeks. And, yeah, their places are not close together. You know, 14-hour drive apart. you know? And it's like, if I go somewhere where I don't have a job, I don't have the support of my family. You know, I got my kids, and my son has to go to school, and then my wife, and,
yeah,
where are we going to live? I mean, all these questions, right? And to bring this up as well, I just want to say, this is how much, you know, the friendship level has come. Steve is a great man, and I hope he hears this. I want him to know this. I really appreciate him, man. This guy works for the Department of Workforce Development. I think that's the department. I apologize, Steve, if that's not the department you work for. but this guy offered me, you know, to have me up in his house, right? So if I get employment, you know, my wife might have to go back to New Jersey, or my kids. This guy offered his house. Like, yeah, who does that? He's like, hey, yeah, man, if all else fails, you get employment and you decide to come here, you have a place to stay, you can stay at my house. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, Steve, you're the real MVP, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's real stuff right there, man. Like, real, yeah, real stuff.
Yes.
But if that all falls through, I'll be going back to New Jersey. So my focus is starting to splinter from, yeah, just Wisconsin to starting to refocus to the Northeast. And that's, unfortunately, you know, the reality of the situation.
That's another thing.
And I know it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know that looks like to some people, like, you know, I'm unfocused, but believe you me, I'm focused.
Gotcha.
But I'm going to end up where I'm going to end up at, you know, I'm going to.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, do you have anything else?
Yeah.
Jeremiah.
There's one thing I do want to cover real quick. Your GI Bill. And just cover your stance on what you're going to do with your GI Bill and pretend you're talking to a civilian that does not know what a GI Bill is and just explain the value. So, don't start talking BA and all that, but not just talk about your with the GI Bill to someone that may not understand what that
awesome is. Well, in a nutshell, well, I'll be going back to school. As soon as I settle, I'm going to be using my GI Bill to go back to school. And it's basically money for to take care of that so I can progress my career and progress, you know, my civilian education.
Mm-hmm.
You, is that too much? That's too summarized, though.
No, that's good. But you're willing to work full-time and go to school full-time, right?
For sure. Okay. That's the plan, definitely.
So I want to make sure everybody understands that because – that's those pitches. I've gone through this and some of my stuff is like, man, service members are sitting here with this free education and you could pretty much not tell them, but you could suggest, hey, why don't you study this? And I mean, like, companies have programs where they will pay you to go to college. Well, yeah, you don't even need that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's a big thing that, I think there's a stigma around that too. Like, you come out of the military, you're like, I got to provide for my family. I mean, man, woman, whatever. You have that same mentality because you've been head first, jump into whatever situation because that's how we're trained. Then we come out, and the last thing we think about a lot of people is like, hey, guess what? You know, if all else fails, if for some reason, you know, the cards just don't play out right, I can go to school and I can get, you know, that stipend to help until I can get that full-time job. And then at the same time, you know, I will work full-time and go to school full-time, but I want to try to break the stigma up is and adapt and overcome to, you know, whatever hand you're dealt when you get out and do whatever you got to do to, you know, take care of you and your family. Don't judge yourself because you haven't got a job yet. Like it takes time. It took me 5 months after I got out of the Navy to find a job and went through a whole tornado of all kinds of things. And I'm thankful for, you know, for my, you know, the woman that decides to, you know, walk every day with me because she was there and she didn't have to be. She could, I was like, any day now I'm going to come home, you know, from trying to find work and she's not going to be there anymore because why would she want to? And she kept my mindset, you know, on, you know, you served and, you know, you've made it through all these things, you know, and you can make this too. And that's kind of one of the things that I want to get across to everybody is we're all, you know, when the uniform comes off, you know, the family, the tribe mentality that we have doesn't go either. It doesn't have to. And that's what's real big with, you know, the Veterans Roundtables. We just want to be the connectors between, you know, service members and the veteran space and to let everybody know that, hey, you know, one team, one fight. Yeah, we all say it, you know, while we're in, one team, one fight. But, you know, you never leave a fellow service member behind, you know, no matter what's going on. And, I mean, there's countless stories of, you know, men and women going back in the middle of a firefight and grabbing, you know, a wounded brother or sister. And this is the same situation when you transition, you know. Once you get out, go back and grab somebody else, you know, and look at it the same way, that same mentality. You know, you don't have, you know, they're not weak because they're confused. They're just like you. And if you can reach back and give them that same, you know, the hope and the resources, then do it, you know, and don't become just a veteran, you know, become a veteran that, you know, we still have obligated, in my opinion, to help those people, you know, to help our service member brothers and sisters, because it was hard for us and maybe we can make it a little less harder on them.
And kind of on that note, one thing I think would be cool is, I'll figure out what color your parachute is, but when you land on your feet out there and everything, and a couple months, whatever it is, I want to read that book and see, kind of reflect, you know, look at this all from a little more retrospective. And
yeah,
you know, once you're settled and everything, like, let's do this again and look back at your story and, you know, just kind of show where you ended up and reflect on the whole process again, because I think that'd be kind of cool.
I mean,
my biggest thing, for sure.
Before we wrap up, I want to, you know, give you, you know, your final things. But the one thing that I'm super excited about is when you do, you know, land that job and you do get settled. And to me, the most amazing thing about you, Jeremiah, is your character won't change. The motivation that you have now, I don't see it changing. And I see you're already reaching back and grabbing, you know, fellow service members now. I'm like, I'm ready for you to be able to get grounded where you're at and really be able to do it. Because, I mean, everybody that knows, when you transition, there's a lot of, you know, moving pieces. And when you finally get settled, you know, don't let, you know, a lot of people, it's just part of human nature. You get settled and you're like, oh, I'm good now. And then you focus on your little, you know, your little circle.
Yep.
I'm super excited, man, to see when you really get into the groove of things and in the civilian world and all the amount of, you know, fellow veterans and service members you're going to be able to help. So,
absolutely.
Thank you. Well, for better or for worse, this is me, man. This is, you know, unfiltered, unadulterated me, you know. I believe in, you know, just giving back in general, man. Like, even beyond the veterans, we should be giving back to something. Like, you should be giving back to your community. You should be giving back to, you know, what's the best thing you can give is time. I mean, if anything, you can be an ear to somebody. And I'm a strong believer in giving back. And, you know, I really want my story to be out there because I'm just me. I feel like, you know, I'm in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I'm a tiny speck on this place called Earth, right? Yeah. And something I used to always tell my soldiers, and one day maybe one of them will hear it and they'll comment on this as well. But I used to always – actually, this story trickled down from me. I can't say I'm the originator. This story trickled down to me, but I like to use it. So it starts off with drawing a body of water. Let's call it the ocean, right? Yeah. If I'm standing on a beach – and I throw a rock in the ocean, am I affecting what's on the other side?
No,
I'm not. Right? I can only worry about the little ripples that my little pebble hits. In the military, I'm a pebble. Mm-hmm. And I throw myself in the ocean in the military, and I like to create ripples, right? And if I can affect another stone somewhere, and that stone goes to the other side of the ocean, and they create ripples, right? That's how real change happens. And then we can look at that outside the military, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at the world like an ocean, be a ripple. Eventually, that stone that you affect will go somewhere else and create ripples, and that stone will create ripples. And we will change whatever needs to be changed, whether that is the transition, whether that is the issues with transition, whether that's a community issue, whether that's, you know, we're not even going down those paths, whether that's some, you know, bigger issues, right? And that's why I started the open discussion, the open topic discussion questions, right? Those questions were not just from me in my mind. Those questions have been asked to me, and I don't have the answers. So I figured I shoot it out there, and let's be candid. There are, and I strongly believe this, and I apologize if anybody takes negativity from this. I don't mean this in a negative way, but there are issues with this transition that people don't like to talk about, the unmentionables, the uglies, the things that if we talk about, somebody somewhere is going to get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
They are out there, right? There are things wrong with the transition that I'm not here to highlight, that I just want to say, I understand, I feel it, and I'm there with you, right?
Yeah.
And slowly I'll throw out topic questions and hopefully get as much candid responses from hiring managers and other veterans and other people from around the world. And let's start talking about some of these issues. And let's, like, I'm trying to be a ripple there. I definitely want to plug back in wherever I go and reach back and help. And if I could, from my story, if I end up falling back on my backup plan and going back and restarting with family, I hope that my story will help others not have to go through that. Like, I hope that from this, someone else will change better. Maybe through some of the companies that I went through, maybe some of their hiring processes will change, or the recruiter might change the way he approaches, or, you know, hopefully something positive comes from it, that somebody else can benefit from my story and the things I go through, so somebody else won't have to go through it.
Well, right. The great thing about that, and I think it's going to be kind of the wrap up, and you pretty much wrapped it up for us, is this whole Veterans Roundtable thing, the whole purpose pretty much of it is the ripple effect.
Yeah.
And it's really funny that you said it the way you said it, because the first time that me and Jeremy talked about the Veterans Roundtable was it was the exact same thing. We're like, listen, we're two ordinary guys, but we have an incredible network of people that helped us. And our goal is to be like the bridge. I say the bridge. So the bridge between the service members and the veteran community that's there to support them. And all we're trying to do is start the ripples.
Yeah.
And I know we're probably running out of time here, but Jeremy, I hope you wrap it up too. But that ripple effect thing it's huge. And I believe that, you know, networking is compound interest for humans. And you impact one person's life, you never know. You might impact 1,000 people just because you reached out to one person. So don't limit yourself and say that you're not that powerful, because you are. And as a group as a whole, when you take off that uniform, you know, we're still, your family's still here for you. And we hope that we can, you know, bring everyone closer together.
Yeah, and I agree. I think you said it well.
For sure.
We're not sitting here trying to act like experts on anything. We've been very clear about that from the get-go. We're just a couple of random veterans that are sitting here that understand what you're going through right now. And I love your ripple analogy because it's exactly that. Like it's, and so any – I never realized how much value my story had because I didn't think there was anything special about me. I'm just a guy. But then when I saw people could take value from my story and the things I struggled with and – it almost made me sick that I'm viewed as a success story for a transition because it didn't feel like that. So when people look at me and like, oh, it worked out so well, like, nah, life was hard for a while. So I think the community kind of needs to come together and understand exactly what you just said about ripples, that hey, your one story is special and unique, and you need to start sharing it with people, and you need to start getting together with the veteran community. And I think exactly what you're saying will happen.
Yeah. Well, Jeremiah, I want to thank you. I'm thinking, speaking for Jeremy too, when I say this, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and being part of that ripple and doing it in a time that is for a lot of people, including myself and Jeremy, was a very difficult time. And it's one time that, honestly, in my opinion, it's time to be selfish about, and you're not, and you're doing things for other people. So I just want to say thank you for coming on. Jeremy, I hope you wrap it up for us, buddy.
No matter what happens over the next couple months, whatever it is, man, we're here for you. So good luck. We're right here.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys. And, you know, keep up the good fight. Like I said, like-minded people find each other, your hearts, your intent, it's very clear. Your realness, right? Like, how do I say this? Yeah, there's no political way of saying this. You have those individuals out there whose heart is not in it, right? Their mind is in the right place. It's a difference when your heart is in it as well, right? Mm-hmm. My mind could be in the right place all day, but if my heart isn't in it, it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
All right? So I just wanted to let you guys know that it's felt, right? And anybody out there who wants to challenge that, I challenge them to really, you know, instead of putting it out there and duking it out, get you guys on the phone and talk. Like, it's obvious that your heart's in it and that the intent in your mind follows your heart. So I just want to say, continue that. I hope to work with you guys in any capacity. I hope to help anybody who needs help. If it's just a positive word I can give, you know, hit me up. I'll give you a positive word. We can talk more about anything I mentioned on the side. Even if it's negativity, feel free to talk to me if you got some negative comments.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about how to make your comments more negative. I mean, more positive, right?
Yeah.
I want to put out there, you know, just that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's people like Joseph and Jeremy who heart and mind are in it. There's people like me who are in it with you. I'm in the trenches with you. I know how it feels. I know nothing you feel is unvalidated at this point. Whatever you feel is validated. I understand. It's the fact of what do you do with that that is important. To all those people who are coming up the transition, please take anything out of this. Please just take the positive mindset and go into your transition. And take the fact that you're not alone. I thank you guys. Like, continue the good fight, and it's obvious.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for coming on the Veterans Roundtable with me and Jeremy.
Everybody good?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. See y'all.
All right, fellas. Talk to you guys later.
All righty. Have a good one, buddy. Good luck.